Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Is there a more annoying thing on earth than cheddar news? Like, I'm just pumping some unleaded here, bro. I don't want to listen to cheddar news yelling at me some an update of something I didn't want to know at the gas station.
SI's Ross Gellinger.
He basically said this BS with it's not pay for play. Well, why are they paying him? They're paying him to play, you know, so it's become pretty obvious to everybody what's happened.
And SI's Pat Forty.
What we're going to need to actually find out, like, how Kiffin pulled this off is for one of them to leave and say, yeah, he guaranteed. I had no idea, like, if Spencer Sanders, I had no idea Walker Howard was coming.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. Sorry to all of you listeners that have suffered through my absence last week.
Record ratings for last
week. Record ratings. It was a surge in listenership. Big off-season episode without me. No, I was not passed out under a beer hall table pat in Munich. Put some respect on my name. I'm not going to pass out. Doesn't mean I shouldn't have. Come on.
You passed out in the jail cell in Munich?
You've known me long enough to know I'm not going to pass out under the table.
Yeah, no, I've never seen you pass out.
Okay. I was a little insulted. Not that I would overconsume in the Munich beer hall.
In the Uber back, Dan. In the Uber back, passed out.
Uber back, no. I was, you know, pretty under control. It's kind of family vacation, so. But, boy, they do have some excellent beer halls in Munich, Germany. I highly recommend it. Trip there. Great city.
Yeah. So you did there in Austria and Rome, is that right?
Yeah, we were all over. The drinking was best in Germany. The food was best in Italy. Austria is just cool. Yeah. Not bad. Good all around trip.
You did Europe, the train?
The train, I just, every time I go to Asia and Europe, I just get frustrated that we can't have the train.
Oh, yeah, here. I know. It really is. It's really frustrating.
And it's never going to happen. It's just never, it's so not efficient. Least in my life. Yeah. It's like, let's see. We have this one way of moving people around that's cheaper, faster, and safer. No way, bro. I want the slower, more expensive system. Yeah. I'm an American. I don't like
and the
that.
The chance to have die in a vehicle accident. I want that too.
I don't want to take a quick train for an hour and 45 minutes. I want to drive in traffic for 4.5 hours. I'm a damn American. What is the opposition to the train?
I don't know, but it's there.
I don't understand. It's like the highway building lobbies or the airplanes, like. I just don't get it. I don't know how anyone goes to Europe or Asia and rides in the train and goes, well, no, we don't want this here.
Right.
I mean, they're great.
Bullet train in Japan is phenomenal.
Oh, the Japan, the China, Korea. Mm-hmm. And Europe's not quite as fast, but fast enough. I don't know. I'm baffled.
It was one of the big things when I moved from the South to D.C., is the access here to the train up to the, I guess, the East Coast corridor,
Northeast
corridor, New England, and how great it is. In fact, I'm taking it this coming weekend to New York. Now, I will say, the train isn't inexpensive. It shocks me how expensive our trains at least are here, like through the Northeast. Like, you could really get a flight for it, but it's just so convenient on the train. It is great. When I went to Europe, you know, a few weeks ago, we took the train a couple of times, and it's frustrating to come back and think that, you know, they've managed to do it across multiple countries, and we can't do it across more than like really 8 states, you know. So,
well, and that's only in one part of the country. Yeah, we can't do it at all in a lot of the. I mean,
and Northeast and the Amtrak in the Northeast is like a. It's like a half-ass European or Asian.
Yeah.
It's half-ass Europe.
And it's more expensive, too, which is frustrating.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. And it's better than nothing, because you can get on a train in Boston and you get to New York in 4 hours, but it's still not fast. They have the Acela line. I mean, you know, but it's not like the trains in Europe. And I just don't understand what was it this isn't new technology. It's not new. I don't know. I don't know how they convinced Americans that the train was somehow a negative. Like, I don't. I'm constantly baffled, as you guys know, that whatever political parties choose, whatever lane they're in, both of them. I'm just like, well, how is that in line with what? Who is against? Again, who is against cheaper, faster, safer, and more enjoyable? Who took that mantle up? How did you convince people?
It's a great sales pitch for Amtrak. A great slogan. Quarter-assed Asian efficiency.
It is. I mean, the Asian one's just like, yeah, hey, you want to be over there in about 45 minutes? Where is it? 300 miles away. Yeah. Like, I can't take a train. I don't even think there's a train running from Detroit to Cincinnati. I don't even think there's a direct train. There is nothing between Detroit, Michigan, and Cincinnati, Ohio, except a cornfield. We should be able to get there in like an hour. And I think you got to like connect through Chicago. It'll be two days to Cincinnati. Like, what is this? How is this possible? Well, it costs too much taxes. What do you think this highway construction is? Jeez.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. Yes, drove the trains around. I didn't drive them. Sat there and drank on them.
Yeah, I hope you didn't drive the trains, Dan. Yeah.
No, I was not in charge of the train. Leave the driving to us. Anyway, one day our country will be able to do it. I doubt it. This is America. I love it. I love the mayhem, but this is the one part I just can't hit. Anyway, get to some of the stuff I missed. We got a new Big Ten commissioner. That seems like the greatest job ever at this point. He just comes in like,
I'm telling you,
last guy did all the work. contracts in hand. We're expanded. We're good. Just sit back. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12 is still trying to figure it. I thought that would get done when I left the country. No. Latest I heard is they're negotiating with gas station TV to get their games on. Is that true? Get a broadcast.
Everybody but.
Right after Cheddar News. Is there a more annoying thing on earth than Cheddar News? Like, I'm just pumping some unleaded here, bro. I don't want to listen to Cheddar News. Yelling at me some update of something I didn't want to know at the gas station.
There's another one. I would like to know how people decided we do need that. Like, I do not need to be assaulted with talk TV at every turn.
Well, it was genius business idea because they're selling ads, but
yeah,
Cheddar News is annoying. I'd rather hear the ad. Anyway, good. I mean, they do get into every neighborhood, so maybe that's Pac-12's future. It would actually be all right if you got there and you could watch a couple plays.
A couple plays? Like, there's a line of cars behind you. Wait a minute. Oregon State's driving on Oregon. I gotta watch this. Hey,
come on, man. I need some gas. Look, there's a line at the mobile. You go in the mobile market, get some beer, some chips. Pump 4 is going to be occupied for a while, man. A big Oregon State fan. The only way I can watch the game is down the gas station.
What if Pump 3's ahead of Pump 4? You got to ask him, hey, what's going on 4th down up there? It's only 3rd down here.
It's like streaming? No, I don't know. I think that's hardwired into there.
Yeah, it probably
I don't know how Cheddar News works, but I don't want to either. They say all options are on the table. I'm just saying. Give them a call. Be innovative. Think outside the box. What I wanted to get to was the various spring games, though. You know, they're of utmost importance and tell you everything you need to know about a team. Most notably, I was excited to see the performance and some highlights here of the next great Texas quarterback, Malik Murphy. Who are these other guys? What happens when Texas has a spring game and Malik Murphy, 9 of 13 for 165 yards and one TD, plays better, or at least as good, as Quinn Ewers, 16 of 23 for 195, and the vaunted Arch Manning, 5 of 13 for 30 yards, which I believe, according to Message Board Genius at Twitter account, led to a thread on one of the Texas boards, is Arch a bust?
Oh, boy.
First board, yeah.
Didn't take long, did it? 3 months in and one spring game in. Wonderful. Perfect. Game.
Five of 13. Like, unbelievable. Come on, man.
You know what happens? Murphy had a good a good showing to that to other teams who are for portal hunting, yeah. right? These days, yes. that's what spring games probably are about more than anything. The spring portal opened 2 days ago. We'll stay open for another around 2 weeks or so, I believe. So these kids, a lot of these spring games are on TV, you know, so it's kind of a evaluation for the coaches in the that are portal hunting for a QB.
Billy Napier.
Absolutely.
Yep. Cough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think? Is Malik Murphy headed to the transfer portal?
I don't know. I mean, he sure showed out.
Yeah. And Lord knows, most places, the backup quarterback or the second stringer doesn't want to be there. The third stringer definitely doesn't want to be there. So if I were Sark, you might be just losing your third string option there.
So Arch is the second string?
Well, I mean, look, Arch is not leaving. We know that. And Arch is not going to not get his chance there. So I would think that Malik Murphy, he may go into the fall if he's still there as like your second string guy. But in terms of long-term viability, Arch Manning's going to get a chance to prove himself before Malik Murphy, and I would think.
But briefly reading about him, he's a third-year player. This will be his third year, I guess he redshirted, and he had an injury that kind of hampered his play last year in the competition, the quarterback competition, if there was one. But he had a little bit of an injury, and he sure looked like he. I mean, for, you know, judging by Sarkisian's quotes, right? It sure looked like he locked up the number two backup kind of spot. So that's quite interesting. And we obviously saw Quinn Ewers, you know, battle through injuries last year, miss a bunch of games. So being the number two at Texas, pretty important job.
It is, but okay. So Sark said after that Ewers is a starter. Mm. Obviously we know there's going to be enormous pressure to play Arch at some point, at least a little. And then you got Murphy in the middle here. I mean, he's a top 200 recruit out of California and all that. I mean, to me, being the number two is good, but what if he could be the number one at Florida, yeah. Let alone a number of other places? I get it, and there's like, this is what gets the kind of the old heads, you know, to explode, like, you know, this transfer portal's ruining everything, and people like me, I don't understand the emotional importance and ties to standing on a sideline with your pinky finger and your index finger raised as you sing, I've been working
no,
on
you
the
don't.
Railroad, you know, you rip off, I've been working on the railroad song and it just means everything. Look at man, go play. I don't know. Like if they're already saying you aren't good enough, this is what I like about the transfer portal. I'd rather see this kid play football than get stacked up. And I don't blame Sark. You got to keep, like Arch Manning wants to come, you got to take him. You got to keep taking good quarterbacks, but where's the loyalty of like how many QBs you getting, right? Yeah. Like it's a competition, but it's a competition the other way too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I see a story out. The headline is Steve Sarkisian's declaration that Quinn Ewers is the starter should send Malik Murphy straight to the transfer portal.
There you go.
I don't know. We'll see. Well, maybe he stays, and if he does, good for him. If he leaves, though, I mean, we've seen this. You got to play. You know, they all want to make the league. You got to play. You know, Joe Burrow gets beat out by Dwayne Haskins. He goes to LSU from Ohio State. He goes to LSU. His first season, he was good. Second season, he's great and has been great ever since. Justin Fields, right? Jake Fromm beats him out at Georgia. Gets to OSU, plays, gets into a first round. Jacoby Brissett a while ago. Was it at Florida at NC State? Was it Driscoll? Jeff Driscoll, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Florida's just, you know, total spin cycle.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, go play. Get to NC State. Well, you know, so, I mean, the portal is open, and it's going to be, I would think, a lot of these the coaches, I give Sark credit for saying Ewers is the starter, not going, well, we're, you know, because right. everyone else is like, all right, well, you try to keep them on the hook for as long as possible.
Right.
So they don't transfer, but.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me a little bit. Remember Dave Aranda last spring did this with his quarterback situation, right? He named, I'm going to miss on the names here, right? But he named the starter was not the returning player, and the returning quarterback left and entered the portal over the summer or in the spring when normal coaches do kind of, right, say, hey, this competition's going into the fall. And so then it kind of, like, in a way, it kind of screws the one of the players from transferring. So kudos to Sark. So the door's open now for one of these two backups to transfer, but I wouldn't think,
that won't be Arch Manning. You don't get, you don't get right. run off in your high school senior year spring game.
Right.
So we'll be interesting to see that. I believe Florida, I'm just throwing Florida out there because neither Graham Mertz nor Jack Miller apparently did a whole lot that makes anyone exciting. And Napier actually said they need another quarterback in the portal.
Portal hunting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I think there needed to be a reality check of sorts at Florida anyway. Like we've seen Graham Mertz throw a lot of footballs in college, and to expect that all of a sudden he was going to transform himself into something he really hasn't been would be unrealistic. Jack Miller has had some opportunities at Florida and hadn't done anything to make anybody believe that he was going to be the quarterback that puts Florida up alongside Georgia and Alabama and LSU. So I think you got what you got, and now we'll see what else they can get.
Yeah. What was the score? 10-7 was the 10-7 was the final score of the Florida spring game. I heard about it over the weekend. Didn't believe it until I'm reading this story now from the Tampa Bay Times. Unbelievable. Four takeaways from Florida's ugly spring game. A 10-7 victory by the Orange. My goodness.
Old school SEC right there.
There you go.
I was seeing some tweets from there where the media was lobbying for the punter to be the MVP. So not really the buzz building spring game you want.
They didn't even for it on fourth down. Like, what are you even bothering with punting? How do you punt in the spring game? Like, maybe once? All you're going to do is get injured.
The punter needs reps, too. The punters need rep, too, Dan. Come on, man. Punters need live reps.
Whether he can he directional kick?
What's his hang time? Scoring. Just for season tickets.
How do our coverage units look running down the field? Come on, man.
Ohio State they brought Archie Griffith back to score a touchdown. Do you see that?
Well, they should. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
no.
They let him run one in. See, there you go. Run up the score. Obviously, no one's going to tackle him.
Man, Archie is always around at their home games. Have you seen him? He looks like he could play right now.
He looked pretty good running. Shape. I mean, obviously he was jogging, but he didn't have pads on, but I didn't see a lot of guys actually really squaring him up. Like,
I mean, he's like almost 70 and he looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
I would love to look like Archie Griffin at his age.
All right. Well, maybe Florida's looking for a QB. So if you're, it's musical chairs, but I don't mind it. I know they're complaining a lot about this tampering. I tamper. Mm. What do you think of this now? We're going to get to these SEC schools too for more of them. SEC put a rule in that if you want to transfer within the league, you had to do it in like January's period. You can't do it now.
Right.
I find this to be, and I know I'm lecturing the SEC about this, but I find this to be an competitively negative idea. Like, why would you let your players leave? You want to keep your players in the conference.
Yeah. Well, no, the coaches don't, because they don't want to play against them and they don't want them sharing the state secrets.
Right. Coaches do not. They're pushed back against it. This has been a topic, and I thought actually it was going to be taken up and it was going to be, there's going to be some kind of vote at the SEC men's basketball tournament when the SEC presidents met. They discussed it, I think, about this transfer date and moving it to more line, I think, with the NCAA's deal. And they didn't do it. And a lot of reasons is there are a lot of coaches in the league, especially the bottom half of the SEC, that want this rule to stay in effect because they don't want their players to leave for the team that they play in 6 months.
The bottom wants it.
The bottom wants to ban their players, the top to poach their players and have to play against their players, you know, in the same season, next season, this season coming up.
I see it totally different. You go the other route. You get their players too. Like that's the thing we've seen with the portal.
True. I guess there's just a bigger fear.
Look at TCU. They went all the way to the title game. I mean,
yeah.
Here's the hilarious thing, though. Like, once again, if we don't like movement within the league, should we look at the athletic directors within the SEC?
Assistant coaches, head coaches.
Where did Scott Strickland come from to Florida? Oh, Mississippi State.
Right.
Greg Burns at Alabama. He had been at Mississippi State before. Scott Woodward, let's see, where had he been? Oh, he'd been at Texas A&M. Ross Bjork, oh, he had been at Ole Miss. Now he's at A&M. Cohen at Auburn, he'd been at Mississippi State.
Yeah, there's five or six of them.
The head coaches, the coordinators. I mean, it's constant.
The SEC loves the players.
Except for the player. I don't know. I mean,
except for the players.
I would want to keep as many of. I want to keep my talent in the conference. If I'm the overlording view of the league, right? I maybe on an individual basis, you sit there and go, you know what? I got a nice linebacker here. He's going to transfer. He'll have a spring game and then Alabama be able to poach him. I mean, it just seems like small. I think you got a better shot at landing an Alabama kid coming down who just realized he's never getting on the field than you losing your star player after the spring to get poached up. But I would overwhelmingly just say, well, we want the best players in our league, so we don't want to ever hinder a guy. Okay, so we just talked about Malik Murphy. Malik Murphy's in the Big 12 right now. He could transfer to Florida, but in 1 year, he couldn't. So if this kid wants to transfer and he's a viable starter and there's a SEC team that needs a viable starter and you sit there and go, sorry, you're going to have to go to Arizona State or something?
Yeah.
Like, that's not over. Now, you know, look, they win the title every year. Probably doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But
And that's one. Look, the coaches push back hard on that, and they listen to the coaches, I think, in those situations. The coaches, if you let them actually vote what they really want, they would say no transfers within the league, period.
Or transfers at all.
Yeah, probably so.
The coaches are always wrong, though. Like, these coaches are not – I know everyone – I talked to Saban about this. It's like, well, these guys aren't really on top of – they don't think beyond their own –
thinking about themselves.
Whatever, 2 seconds in front of them,
Right, they're thinking about their own team, and they're – and, yeah, I mean, and to them, they get paid a lot of money and obviously have a lot of pressure. You could understand why they think that way. It's just all about advantage me. You know, how can I get an advantage? And I think – you know, a lot of the coaches in the league, maybe it's both the top and the bottom of the league, but I've talked to enough in the bottom of the league that push back against it because they are afraid that the top of the league is going to come in and grab some of their best players. And those best players, they will have to play against that season.
They can still get them, though. Like, I don't know. Scared money doesn't make any money. And if you're in the bottom of the bottom of the league is always in the bottom of the league. I don't know. I'd want the transfer anyway. Probably not that big of a deal, but it's kind of it's a weird thing. I would always want my guys to stay. If you really think that one kid on your team can unleash all the secrets to your entire operation 6 months later, I mean, the NFL guys switch teams every week.
Yeah. And people will pick up somebody from a team that they had, that they're playing next week.
They will, but how much does it really matter?
Yeah.
It will occasionally. I don't know. Georgia, Brock Vandergriff, and Gunnar Stockton trying to unseat what appears to be Carson Beck's job. Now that the law firm of Stetson Bennett is hanging around the early mornings of the Dallas party scene and trying to make the NFL, maybe. Beck was 13 of 18 for 211 yards. This report I'm reading, an emphatic case he should be the starter. Vandergriff and Stockton made plays, but also turned the ball over. Big question would be, is Vandergriff on the move? Stockton's younger, right? Stockton's the yeah. Kind of seems like if you're the freshman kind of guy, you're going to hold out a little longer. Now, you also only get one transfer now, unless you come up with Uncle Dallas's.
Well, and even that has been ruled out, right? So the waivers have gotten much stricter. Yeah, so they say. You're right.
I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. I will believe it when I see it.
I'm so close to Uncle there will be lawyers. Dallas's. He's a big part of my life. He needs me there to hold his hand as he goes to the dialysis clinic every Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
How often you got to go to those things?
I'm sorry, I'm not up on that.
But remember when the Louisville and Kentucky made the Final Four and two dudes fought at the dialysis clinic? A Card fan and a Wildcat fan. They had a brawl.
In Georgetown, Kentucky. Maybe I'll call them up and ask them how
all-time
how
classic.
Often
all-time classic.
Yeah.
But
going back to the transfer thing real quick there, I want to see in an era where mental health has been prioritized, how many waivers come with mental health attached as a reason why I need to transfer and be eligible. To which I will say this, if you are in a mentally precarious situation, maybe you shouldn't play football for a year. Maybe you should take a year off and not play and sit out as a transfer. But that never seems to actually be part of the equation.
My mental health will be better if I'm starting.
My mental health will be better if I am improving my NFL draft stock by being in the lineup.
Certainly. What is the genesis of the mental health? I'm not playing. It's not fun. No, they're going to struggle with that one. How do you say no to that?
That's the thing.
They should never have had a waiver. I'm telling you.
Never.
I'm generally in favor of no rules on this stuff, but they got a little soft and they got exploited on it, and they're going to continue to get exploited. Never should have 1 year sit on transfer sit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, did you guys watch any of the Georgia? I mean, at least I had an excuse to not watch. I was in Italy or something. What do you got? What's your excuse?
I was in the slopes.
I was down. He was on the slopes. I was down at the lake.
God, this is good work, people.
Come on, there's spring games, Dan. Get out of here with this spring game nonsense.
I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't have missed it. Look,
If you've ever been a beat writer for a team, there is nothing worse than covering spring football. And you know what? A lot of the players feel the same way, especially the older guys. Like, I hate spring football. So you go out there and you plow through all those practices, and then you get to a game, and then, some fourth-string running back has 8 carries for 81 yards, and everyone decides he's the man, and then you don't even see him in the fall.
Well, and it's something – it's interesting. We kind of touched on it earlier, and I've actually heard it from some coaches. All these spring games now are televised, and they've been, over the years they've been televised, and more get televised each year. But now with the portal and transfer situation – honestly, a lot of the coaches don't necessarily want their best players or even their second best players to have some great, fantastic game because guess where they would potentially go? Into the portal. So you don't want to – it's like an assistant coach told me this over the winter back in December or January. He said, we're already like – we don't want to put our talents out there and for the other coaches to evaluate. It's bizarre. That's a weird thing to say, but I think there are plenty of coaches thinking that way. They don't want their talent taken and kind of put out there nationally or even regionally on television because they don't want that talent to get overtures of NIL or get in the portal.
Get rid of the spring game. So maybe Napier had it right, and Graham Mertz is about to absolutely uncork a Joe Burrow season. We don't know.
That would be some chess to other people's checkers right there.
We're not playing. That's Saban may not play. Watch this, right?
Yeah. Bring, right, oh, right. I mean, there's a lot of places that are phasing out the actual spring game. They don't want to actually play a game.
Yeah. And or they want to, as Hugh Freeze said last week, I think, or the week before, right? They want to have a spring competition against another team. I don't know.
Yeah,
that.
I did see that. Hugh Freeze wanted to do a one dub or a smaller school battle, right? Auburn versus Jacksonville State,
like Troy, or something like that. Yeah.
UAB. Will anyone play UAB? Or are they still trying to? Is everyone aligned to still kill that program?
Yeah, Paul Bryant Jr. says, no, you will not play a spring game against.
Is someone trying to tamper with Archie Griffin then? Because he looks so good on that touchdown.
It's like Archie Kent Griffin State's into the portal.
There you go.
Hey, man.
Archie was so long ago, I think he probably didn't have freshman eligibility to play. So he might be able to scrape together a year, you know, play for somebody.
68 years old, it says here. Now he played all 4 years.
He did play four. Okay.
Yeah. He had 867 as a freshman. That's how damn good he was. Woody was like, yeah, we're playing him.
Yeah.
1,500 as a sophomore, almost 1,700 and 12 TDs as a junior, and then 1,404 TDs as a senior, but he won the Heisman again. He probably would drop off after that. I do remember working on the Walter Payton book that Walter Payton and his friends were not happy that they thought he was better than Archie.
Well, he was better.
He was.
Let's be honest.
But they really would get upset when they'd like read the paper and it'd be like, it would be some white guy from like Ole Miss getting all the hype. And they're just like, come on, man. We got Walter here, boy. This newspaper is crap. Interesting angle, though, that Kirby Smart has come up with to try to keep. So we mentioned, right? How do you keep your quarterbacks?
Mm.
This is his angle, and not just favorable police treatment in Athens. He's saying that you'll develop better as a backup at Georgia. I can promise you, there's no quarterbacks in the country getting as many reps as ours. Because we've got enough defensive linemen and offensive linemen to have three units, sometimes four units. The only way to get better is to go out there and practice and get reps. Some universities can't give kids the reps we can because they don't have the depth.
Wow.
Sounds like a coach.
That's a heck of a spin.
That is a smart move. That's pretty sharp. I have no idea if that's true. Always be Cruton.
You know, that it does remind me of, you know, Saban. I think Nick Saban made this famous. He kind of started it at Michigan State and then on to LSU and, of course, Alabama, was the whole idea of two spotting at practice, right? You have depth. You got to have depth enough and enough walk-ons to be on two different fields and have basically two practices going at the same time. It sounds like Kirby Smart could have four practices going at the
four
same
practices.
Time.
Four practices. Four. Don't go anywhere else. We got four practices going on here.
That explains why they have that many fields down there.
Need another practice facility.
Yeah.
Need another indoor practice facility.
I toured that facility last spring, by the way. It just opened up. It's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. I just remember walking through it thinking, this is not amateur sports. No.
No.
I remember walking through the old one and thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they built a bigger, nicer one.
I don't know. Do you think that will work? Or do you think Brock Vandegrift is headed to the ACC?
That's not going to work. I think that was a, it's probably handy to help keep a guy who's not going to play right away for another year or something. But yeah, if you're Brock Vandegrift and, you know, you've been there for a couple of years and you're still waiting to get on the field. Your practice reps are not going to come in quite as handy as getting to actually put together tape on the field against actual opponents.
Yeah. And we talked about this, right? There was a lot of hand wringing about the portal, but we've seen the last year or two that specifically with the quarterback, that the talent's spread out more. And so those backup quarterbacks that, you know, would be backup somewhere riding the bench and not playing much, or starters, even if it means dropping to the G5 level or a lower Power 5 level school, they're starting and the talent's more spread out. And so if you see that, if you're a quarterback and a backup quarterback, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't if you've seen it happen like it has the last couple of years.
Well, and we've seen quarterbacks drafted, let's see, first rounds, Pitt. Let's see. Let's go through this. Clemson, BYU, North Dakota State, Ohio State, Alabama, first round, LSU, Alabama, Oregon, Utah State. 2019 was Oklahoma, Duke, Ohio State. 2018 is Oklahoma, USC, Wyoming, UCLA, Louisville, and North Carolina, Texas Tech, Clemson, Notre Dame. Well, Notre Dame wasn't the first round. You know, and back Cal, NC State, Memphis. And that was your, those are your three first round picks in 2016. Now they're Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, and Paxton Lynch.
Yeah. Don't ever speak of Paxton Lynch again.
Wentz had his moments. Goff's still doing fine. Liberty, right? Malik Willis was from Liberty. Yeah. Actually, I got, that was the third round. He go third round. Oh.
Well, still, really, he got
they were hyping the hell out of him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bailey Zappi's in the league from Western, you know.
They'll find you.
Houston Baptist. Yeah.
Yeah. You do need to get on the field. That's where the Kirby Smart thing, like, they'll find you, and they'll go scout practices at the big schools, but you really need game tape to have a chance. And so, yeah, get it at Wyoming. Get it at North Dakota State. Get it at Liberty. Get it where you can, and the scouts will find you.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Lane Kiffin, the portal king, I think has cornered the market here. So rave reviews from their spring game. And I'm sorry, I don't remember what all these games are, you know, the Grove Bowl or the Blue White, you know, everyone's got their names.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Dart was 18 of 37 for 302 yards, a TD. Then you have Oklahoma State transfer Spencer Sanders. 19 of 27 for 265. And there's no pitch count in this game. They're hucking it.
No.
That's
no.
He carried six times for 72 yards on a score. Think you can't hit him though, right? And then you got LSU transfer Walker Howard. Or else it's Howard Walker. I can never remember. No, it's Walker Howard.
Walker Howard.
In between his country music career, went 11 of 13. For 184 yards and three touchdowns and no interceptions. So what is that? That is,
it's like 78 passes,
seven touchdowns. He also rushed five times and a touchdown. The quarterback said, "Wait, hold on. That's three. Did he get a touchdown? All right, eight touchdowns out of the quarterbacks. Not bad. Sanders and Howard just got there. So if you're gonna pull the transfer, I got a transfer for mental health or whatever reason, that's going to be tough. Howard's kind of your future. And then you got Dart sitting there. I mean, that's hats off to Lane Kiffin.
Also, yeah, look at Florida spring game where it's 10 to 7. This one's 53 to 52. Lane Kiffin knows how to put on a show. Take that, Billy Napier.
Yeah, you know, they're looking for some quarterbacks, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Kiffin also made this crack. Texas A&M receiver Chris Marshall just came over. Someone asked how he was adjusting to the new play calling. You know, Kiffin loves making fun of Jimbo Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
He said, instead of a program where you huddle and wait 35 seconds to snap it, we've got to get him to get the ball to the official. We've got to teach him to do things our way, Kiffin said.
Mm. Yeah. Below the belt.
The Aggies.
Little tempo versus stodgy no tempo.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing dirtier than in college coaching than tempo insults.
The almost quarterback situation really is fascinating. And you just don't see it a lot right now. You don't see a team go, you know, have an incumbent starter and then go get two more quarterbacks out of the portal who, especially one, you know, pretty sought after, and stack them on your team. I remember talking to the Grove Collective CEO, another Walker, Walker Jones, about this, not a country singer, Dan, but about this situation. He was talking about how they kind of got this done, you know, partly with NIL and how they're structuring contracts and such. And it's fascinating to see what will happen here and if they can keep all three of those. You know, I think, you know, I mean, we're 2 days into the portal being open. None of them are into the portal yet. But it's going to be interesting to see how this, this one plays out, because it is so unusual. It would be a surprise. And I think Ole Miss in their collective understand this. You know, it'd be a surprise if all three, I think, were on the team at kickoff. You kind of expect almost that you're going to lose one of them. I don't know. I don't know where they would go. That's a good question.
Spencer Sanders just got there.
Yeah.
And I think I've screwed up my own joke.
And they've all transferred
Howard,
at least
now
once.
Now I'm starting to call him Howard Walker.
They've all transferred at least once too.
And Howard's got 4 years.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there saying, well, Dart's gone. Sanders is like a 50-year guy. He's a grad or 60-year. I don't even know. Mm. I'm going to be the starter, although the portal king will bring someone else in. But that, you know, so I don't know if anyone's going anywhere. They're just sitting there with a ton of depth.
Like, what we're going to need to actually find out, like, how Kiffin pulled this off is for one of them to leave and say, yeah, he guaranteed. I had no idea, like, if you're Spencer Sanders, I had no idea Walker Howard was coming. Or Walker Howard says, I had no idea Spencer Sanders was coming. I thought all I had to do was beat out Jackson Dart. And all of a sudden, we end up with three of us. But I don't know how this resolves itself. Other than, boy, somebody's going to have to play the Uncle Dialysis card here. Or else they're going to have three quarterbacks on the roster, and Kiffin's going to be puffing his chest out like, look what I did.
Smooth move there.
There's incentive for them to stay. And again, going back to the conversation I had with the collective folks there at Ole Miss is, you know, they backload, and a lot of collectives are doing this now, they backload the contracts. So these NIL contracts. So it's incentive to stay. So, you know, if there's a year... this is an example. I don't know if this is the exact case, but if it's a year deal that started in January for a transfer quarterback and ends in December, you know, from January to June, you might get only 30% of the contract's worth. And in the last 7 months or so, you get 70% as an incentive to stay. It's quite fascinating how they've arranged that situation there. But it's not pay for play. It's not pay for play. No way. As Mac Brown came forward and told me, talked to him a week or two ago. We had a story last week from him. And he just kind of came out and said it. He basically said this BS with it's not pay for play. Well, why are they paying him? They're paying him to play. You know, so it's become pretty obvious to everybody what's happening.
Mac will slowly get to me. He's slowly going to get to me. He's coming. Don't pay him. Just let him. Hey, this is your deal. I mean, look, Spencer Sanders was a beloved star at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Which throws the ball plenty of times. So he chose to leave and give this a shot, and he obviously thought he could beat out Jackson Dart, and maybe in the end he will, but now that he's there, what is he going to do? You're going to switch again? I don't know how you want to lose the appeal. This is how you lose the appeal. So he took this on and said, I just want to go play for Lane Kiffin in the SEC, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, whether I cannot imagine Lane Kiffin said, you'll start. You just say, well, you got a chance to win the competition. Well, you don't win the competition. I mean, look, whatever he's getting on NIL, you hang out in Oxford for a year, you get your grad degree, or I don't know.
Trying
to go to the league, but it's a weird transfer. I think you're better off transferring in a different direction where you know you're going to be the starter as a senior.
Well, I remember being shocked at both Sanders and Howard's transfers, but especially Sanders, because it just didn't seem like there was, you know, readily available playing time. So.
Howard's a little more understandable, obviously, given Howard's how young he is. And yeah, and right. This does seem like a play for years to come. But yeah, Sanders would just, this is it for him. And it probably tells you that, I'm sure Lane, didn't promise any starting job. He had an incumbent starter. But it probably tells you that at the lack of confidence maybe in the incumbent starter that you would accept somebody like Spencer Sanders and that he would go there. So it almost surprised me if we don't see them, both of them quarterbacks, play a decent amount. And maybe didn't Lane do this last year where he did like a Harbaugh, didn't he? He had like a couple of preseason games there where he kind of had the quarterback competition go into the season and not decided until like a few games into the season.
Yeah, Lane did some funny stuff there. You know, I mean, like there was Luke Altmaier was kind of in the picture. Yeah. There was before that, it was John Reese Plumlee. And then it was like all of a sudden Plumlee's a receiver. And then he just became like your running downs, you know, your wildcat package guy. And so,
and you could see that happening this year. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they open with Mercer and then they play at Tulane and then they host Georgia Tech. I mean, before the game against Alabama. I mean, so, you know, I mean, there'll be significant favorites over Mercer in Georgia Tech and there'll be pretty big favorites even at Tulane, you know, they'll be. So there's your three games right there to see the quarterback competition play out.
It's going to be interesting. Walker Howard's got that one really good song where the drives his pickup truck over the red clay. And his girlfriend wears a sundress or something. It's really good.
Walker's a South Louisiana boy. Son of famous LSU.
Over the bayou. I'm sorry.
LSU
the red
star
clay.
Jamie Howard. Yeah, he's something with the bayou. You got to get the bayou in there, Dan.
I get the bayou.
The Cajun got some gumbo and some Creole. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was kind of the surprise he left. He's also the one that got Brian Kelly to dance that everyone flipped out about.
That's so right. The spinning dance stage that they have over there at Tiger Stadium.
I'm looking forward to LSU just having a great season and putting the end to the Brian Kelly doesn't fit.
Yeah. Well, they went a long way towards that last year.
Yeah. Last year. That's, yeah, they did.
Fits when they win. We want to get to Ohio State too. But one more in the South, Tennessee is loaded too. Cause they've got, they got Joe Milton, who everyone gets excited about for a while. No one can ever deny Joe. I can't wait till Joe Milton goes to the NFL Combine. Like you think that, Anthony Richardson thing is exciting. Yeah. Wait till Joe Milton goes to Indianapolis, the Combine, and throws the ball 140 yards, one throw. He's just going to drop back the pass and huck it into the upper deck where Belichick is sitting. With a pair of binoculars. How's this, coach? I think I got the arm strength. Joe Milton at the Combine is going to be fantastic. Holy Lord. Threw it outside the building. Man, how do you say it? I need the update on how to... Nico. We got Nico from California.
Nico.
The big...
Nico, that's right. I am a Leava.
I'm a Leava. I've got to work on it. I had it for a while. He looked good. So the Vols are excited. They got two QBs. So that was good this weekend. Give the Vols a little shout out. No controversy there, except when will the freshman take over, I guess. I don't know. Finally, Ohio State is a big one. Devin Brown was not available for the spring game. He's having a quote-unquote finger procedure. So I guess he had some kind of injury there. Kyle McCord got center stage, 18 of 34 for 184 and a TD. Ryan Day giving the classic spring game quote, I think you saw in the game was similar to what we've seen in practice. There's some good things. There's some things you'd like to see a little better.
Great. Wonderful. Also, Devin couldn't bear through it in playing this all important spring game.
I mean, they had a 68-year-old, a tailback. He should be able to get up.
I mean, yeah.
You know. It's that that quote will then give way in August to after they scrimmage. Well, both quarterbacks did some good things, like what we saw from both of them. And that'll be the case for every scrimmage, and then all of a sudden, only one will play.
Coach Day. I think the picture sometimes is clean, other times not as clean. Thanks, Ryan. Thank you.
Awesome.
73,000 at the game, though.
Mm. Woo!
They're ready. They're ready.
This
is a big one, though. How are you 18 for 34 with that array of wide receivers? Come on, man. I didn't watch.
Why are there 16 incompletions?
Yeah. I think Harrison only played a little, but I mean, anything in his direction should be caught. Obviously, that's going to be a big one because there's a lot of pressure on Ohio State this season. A lot of pressure. So that will be, that'll be it. That's what I got.
Only 45 minutes on spring games, Dan?
Just imagine if I didn't go to Europe.
The next three episodes yeah, on we, spring games.
We'd be doing a bonus pod this week on.
Yes. Oh,
now we're now going to discuss the Bayern Munich game against. Yeah, no. I avoided that.
Thank you.
All right. Thoughts on our new Big Ten commissioner?
Interesting one. You know, the whole time during the search, we were hearing about just internally hearing that they were going to, well, Jim Phillips and just somebody within the industry, somebody within college sports, an athletic director, a commissioner, an associate AD, somebody in a headquarters of a conference office. We get kind of a similar hire to, as we've seen with the Pac-12 and in the Big 12, it's somebody outside of the industry, but somebody that has a little more connection to college sports, probably than those outside hires, I think you'd say. In fact, I remember I talked a story on him, just a really kind of quick hit, what to know about Tony Petitti last week. And I talked to some folks, just a few people for it, and one of them said, don't think of him as an outsider. He's not outside the industry. Now, well, he doesn't work in college athletics. But this person was talking about these multimedia guys now, they're in our industry. You know, like the Fox and the ESPN executives over college sports, like they're in our industry. We work with them so closely, and they're so important. They're within our industry. So that's interesting. He certainly has all these connections to college sports, and he's been at all these TV networks. And has dabbled in a lot of college events, you know, overseen a lot of college events. So there is a strong connection there. But I think there's a lot of people within the industry that expected somebody like an AD or another commissioner or somebody like that to be hired who are scratching their heads a little bit.
I've been waiting a week to get the reaction to this from one Dan Wetzel. This guy's credited as one of the creators of the BCS. So I'd like to ask the guy who wrote the book, Death to the BCS, what he thinks of that.
Well, I will say this. It was a step in the proper direction.
It was that.
So the BCS, like most of the things in college sports, they should just move forward through the pretend this is going to work phase.
Incremental steps, always incremental.
But they just refuse to just do the right thing immediately and just move forward because they're scared of everything. And there was nothing he could do. There were too many ADs at the time and too many commissioners that were in the pocket of the bowl industry. And there was no way to fully make the move. So it was the BCS was a necessary evil, I would say. It was better than what we had. Mm-hmm. So how's that for some reasonable response? See, I'm a man of, despite writing a book declaring a fatwa, if you will, on a championship system.
I'm a little disappointed, I have to say. I didn't want a reasonable response. I want a death to the BCS response.
He was stuck with his predecessor, Jim Delaney. That was the problem. Jim Delaney was going to protect the Rose Bowl. Then he was going to go work for the Rose Bowl. It's like trying to get a senator from Oklahoma or something to go against the oil industry. when he knows he's going to get paid by the oil industry after. There's nothing you can do. Yeah. So, you know, he made a step, right? You're not going to make a step. So, plus, you know, I made a good penny off those books. So, you know, really, yes. My own. I was at an NCAA like AD convention or something once, and they had me up on a panel or speak or something, and someone said, raise your hands if you're going to miss the BCS, and nobody in the – I was the only person in the room to raise my hand. Yeah. All the ADs were like, that thing sucks, and I was like, it was all right for me. It's all right for me. I don't know. I think, you know, I thought actually you had to do something. So hopefully he is not going to be – his allegiance is not going to remain with the bowl industry and protecting the sanctity of the bowls. And we get home playoff games. We get a real playoff because he now has some power. I have not heard his opinion on this, but he certainly – wise enough and visionary enough to be part of the BCS. He's smart enough to know, let's go. Okay. Don't give it to, I don't care about the Fiesta Frolic. They're paying you enough to buy your own damn bourbon and your own golf down at whatever the ritzy Biltmore. Let's get real. Yeah, so
Gainey
there,
Ranch
there will be damn. A moment. That's my shot across the bow. Right now we're all on good terms. All on good terms.
Good.
All right. One story I wanted to get to. We were big on the rats. Longtime listeners will remember big on the rat wars when we had the
battle rats.
Battle rats. There was the quarantines around America about 3 years ago. The rats of America were used to feeding off like their local restaurant dumpster. Yep. Suddenly the restaurant was closed, so then they started having to find other ways to eat, so they started eating each other.
God. What?
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Oh, yeah, battle rats. Oh. Battle rats.
From we went spring deep on game this, to Big Ten Commissioner to rats that eat one another. Only on the pod.
We went deep on it.
It led to the great debate that the chance, you know, the teams of the Northeast are not going to win the national championship in college football. But could a New York rat dominate any rat? Like a Brooklyn rat goes to Knoxville and it can trounce like five of those country rats, right?
Country. Probably. But the inner city rats, you got to watch.
You got it right. Yeah. But who would win a rat fight? This is all because New York City has created their first rat czar.
They have hired
a czar for rats. And it's a woman, Kathleen Karate, who is now my hero. Someone declared this is the dream job. This woman has spent her life. Yeah. It's a New York Times story. And the New York Times just with no irony or humor to it. Like, No, not a single laugh in this story that there's now a rat czar and this woman has trained her whole life to decimate the rat population of New York City. What a life. I want to read this woman's book. At age of 10, she walked the train tracks of Long Island with her mother and was interrupted by the sight of a rat carcass. She was horrified. Like, they have the origin story to the rat.
This is almost sounds like a Batman origin story, like a rat woman.
What is
the
this?
Rat woman origin this? Story? Carcass of a rat walking with mom down the street. I mean, man.
One day I am going to be the rat czar.
Yeah.
I knew at age 10 when I saw that rat carcass
it's like Kenny,
what my life's purpose would be.
Kenny Dillingham going to the Arizona State game at 8 and saying, Ande, I'm going to coach the Sun Devils. Dad, this is so exciting watching Jake Plummer. She circled a petition and the Long Island Railroad listened. They came and did a rat mitigation. What a great story. Anyway, she's going to fight the rats in New York. She's got a whole different thing. She already has our favorite guy, Robert Corrigan, who's the quote-unquote renowned urban rodentologist.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if you ever really want to deep dive this thing, there is a Q&A in the New York Times with him that is one of the funniest things I've ever read at all. Anyway, it does bring back our question, though. SEC just means more against everyone else. Who is the only real challenger, the only real challenger to the New York Rat, the New Orleans Rat? Who could win? A New Orleans Rat.
It's a good call.
Or a New York City Rat. Now, New York City's going to have the numbers. They're going to throw the New Orleans is dirty, but it ain't big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that New Orleans is the worthy adversary there. But look, it's like when TCU makes the championship game against Georgia. It's still Georgia, all right? And New York's Rats are still New York's Rats, all right?
They can run four teams. They can run four teams at practice out at you.
Four teams of battle rats.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kirby Smart.
The fourth team battle rats is big and as fast as the first teamer. Just needs more experience.
The New Orleans Rats, so they fight dirty. They fight dirty. Those New Orleans rats fight. They're breaking legs. They're punching groin areas. You know, they're biting groin areas. They're dirty, dirty rats. Those New Orleans rats, man.
Gotta be, right? Yeah, they're scrappy. They're scrappy. But I think they're a little fattened up on easy, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, like discarded pizza slices. And what are those?
Too much bourbon
hot dogs
street
they
pizza.
Serve?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's those hot dogs they sell down there?
Oh, you're talking about Lucky Dogs.
Lucky dogs. Yeah, they don't have to work for it the way the New York City guys do. Right. Kathleen Karate is the Kirby Smart of the rat world. She is leading a rat army that would take down New Orleans. But it probably wouldn't even be a game, right? Probably wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. no. They'd mm-hmm. roll them. They'd roll them.
Yeah. All right.
And then everybody was anticipating the matchup and say, this is terrible. New York's
too right.
good.
They do what Ross just did and try to talk themselves in. The scrappy New Orleans rats. Right. I saw a rat once. He was huge on Bourbon Street.
Hey, these DC rats, by the way, they don't play.
Don't underestimate
either.
Them.
All right. No. We live right in the middle of the city. And during COVID, the DC rat population went up pretty significantly to comparable levels, they say, as far as per capita of New York City. It's pretty wild here. In fact, and I think I may have mentioned this on the show, but we got a real problem here. Yeah, Dan, it's bad, actually. And I may have mentioned this on the show earlier this year. But over last summer, there was somebody running for council here in D.C., and there were big posters up in our neighborhood, you know, because I think it was our council district. And it was a guy, and there was his face, kind of smaller in the corner. And most of the poster was a massive head of a rat. And the slogan basically was, you know, elect me and I'll get rid of the rats, basically. Unfortunately, our boy lost. So the rats flourish.
Did you vote for it?
No, I don't think so. That seemed like a weird campaign.
Platform.
You know, I feel like there are other priorities. I mean, the rats are bad here, but
table
I feel like
issues,
there are other
though. Kitchen
more,
table.
More important priorities. But we've had, look, I'm not going to get into it on the show, but we've had some serious, like, rat issues. Just a neighborhood, home, right? We've had some issues. They don't play around here, man. I'll quickly say that I was sitting on my patio one night, this was a couple years ago, when everything was going crazy, like during COVID and the rat population was wild here. And I looked to my right and there's this rat the size of a small dog, and it is dragging into a hole a massive piece of tortilla, like just a tortilla that somebody threw away.
Sure.
The tortilla was about this big, about a foot wide, and he was dragging it into his hole. And I thought, man, we should have elected that council member to get rid of the rats. Yeah.
Taco
that
Tuesday.
That actually sounds like the Pimlico Racecourse grandstand on an average Tuesday.
Well, to turn it around, you get the DC rats on the train, the Acela, the New York meet somewhere in Jersey or Philly or something and have it
out. There you go. Swamps of Jersey, battle rat showdown.
Step it up, New Orleans. Get your own rat czar. Kathleen Karate is coming for you. All right, that's the show. We'll be back later this week. More excitement. We've got the draft coming up, too. We got to get some draft talk.
Do. Yeah,
got more spring games coming. Alabama's got one coming up. Coach Prime sold out Boulder. We got some good stuff coming up, so stick with us.
By the way, before we end it, Dan, I have to say, I just Googled really quickly. I was really interested to know the most rat-infested cities. Orkin. Orkin has a top... top 50. Orkin has made a top 50 of rat-infested cities. Number one is actually not New York, but it is Chicago. How about that? Number one, Chicago. Number two, New York. Number three, Los Angeles. That's a surprise. Number four, yours truly, D.C. Number five is San Francisco. Detroit, number nine, Dan.
Ah, we're sitting there, punching above our weight. Yep.
Orkin, look, Orkin's like, so they're sitting around at some board meeting and say, we need some website content. What can we put on the web? Let's rank the rat cities. Yes.
You know, we may need a full, we weren't already an hour into this thing. we may not be done with our rat talk. I'll just preview we'll in future. Back. I got to take a look at that list. Take a look at that list, Orkin.
All right. Rat talk will continue.
Rat talk will continue. Talk to you later.